come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio@star88.fm.
Good morning.
Yes, we are here and we are conquering the world. Whoa. One radio show at a time.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
I think so.
Did it do anything?
No. It's
yes,
okay.
It did. It did to mine.
And oh, it did everything. Yours? Yeah. Dang it.
It's okay. We're messing with okay, now it's back up. That's cool.
Mine hasn't changed at all.
Do you want them up or down?
That's fine. Yeah. We're good to go.
That's
man, it is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Teo, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Dude.
Hang out with us now.
We are coming at you like a giant alien ship from the galaxy. Do you know anything about that, Matt?
Nope.
Dude, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right.
It released.
Love that movie.
Yeah. Volume 2. We got a name for the second movie.
Do we really?
Yeah, it's called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That's stupid.
No, it's not. It's awesome because his mixtape that he carried around that his mom made was Awesome Mixtape Volume 1.
Nerd humor.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even a joke.
That's just fact. It's facts of life. The facts of life.
Dude, I loved that superhero movie.
That was a good one.
That was good.
You know what's going to be just as good? Ant-Man. I'm calling it right
now. Yeah.
It releases next week. We're going on my birthday.
What about Punisher, man?
Which
the,
one?
The show with
Daredevil?
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced that.
That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be pretty
and
good.
Who is it that's playing Punisher
the
again?
Dude that played Shane on The Walking
that's
Dead.
That's right. Yeah. Which I hate that actor.
But that's perfect.
That's
the point,
want.
I think. It's kind of like a Joaquin Phoenix from Gladiator where you're like, dude, this guy must be a good actor because I hate him right now.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I just hate his face.
He's going to be the perfect Punisher.
He really is. He really is. You're not supposed to like that character at all.
But I love... Dude, he was one of my favorite superheroes when I was a kid.
The Punisher?
The Punisher.
That is so funny.
The Punisher and Wolverine were my two favorite superheroes growing up because they were like anti-heroes.
Right. Right.
And I like
and
that.
And it's like you know?
Yeah.
The anti... I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the anti...
You're going to get the anti-hero of anti-heroes.
Like the anti-Christ.
No.
Oh, right. Different,
that was your
different
hero
thing.
When
that's
you were
a little...
Kid?
No, no.
That was like... There was no, like, just step across the line for that. You just, like, saw the line and you're like, I'm
running! There's the line!
I'm running!
Bam!
You know what, though? I agree with you. I see what you're saying. Because just like you... I can't stand that guy because Shane brought back too many memories of growing up and all the bullies in my life from the South.
Mm.
That was Shane.
Dude.
You know, and then the Punisher, I've never liked that character.
Ugh.
Never liked him just because he's just out there doing his thing and he's just shooting everybody. He's basically just a mercenary.
A vigilante.
It's going to be the perfect Punisher.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
It is Shock Therapy Live, your one-hour call-in show centered around comics. Wait, no, centered around you!
We frequently, like, you guys lost Comics Corner.
Yeah.
But we pretty frequently talk about comics or comic-related movies
we
at
really
the beginning
do.
Of Shock Therapy
we
Live.
We really do, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff happened. Dude, never mind. I can't even get into it. It's too deep for me right now. I don't want to pursue this on Shock Therapy Live.
Why?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Marvel, what they're doing right now.
Oh.
What they did today. I actually tweeted the writer of a comic that released today because they killed one of my favorite superheroes.
Oh, man.
I thought it was awesome.
And I hated it. He loved it. Anyways, moving right along. Dude, tonight, excited?
Dude, it's going to be a fun night, man. 4th of July. Well, it's not 4th of July, but it's our 4th of July.
Yeah, we're celebrating Canada Day. Did you
know
that?
So...
Ironically enough, today is, it's July 1st, it's Canada Day.
Oh, that's funny.
And we're shooting off fireworks.
Dude, you know what's funny to me? This is what always happens. Calvary always celebrates 4th of July on a Wednesday. So sometimes that happens on 4th of July, sometimes on the 3rd, sometimes on the 2nd. So what happens is I always get all pumped up and I celebrate 4th of July. We have fireworks, and then on the actual 4th of July, I don't want to go see fireworks or like celebrate.
Yeah.
I just want to stay home. And it's like, no, we 4th of July already happened.
Yeah.
No, that's
Which
just like.
Funny. It's the opposite of a birthday. Because if your birthday's on like a Tuesday and you throw a party the weekend before for your birthday, oh, you best be celebrating on my birthday. You know what I mean?
You know, aren't Christians kind of notorious for that? Like celebrating on things like, no, we're not celebrating on that day. We're celebrating on this day.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Christians are kind of notorious for hijacking things.
We really... That's what?
It's redeeming them.
There you go.
Redeeming them.
Oh.
You see, Nate, we posted.
Sorry, I'm not hip with the not of this world vernacular that you have to put on t-shirts.
We posted some social media etiquette today. In fact, 12 rules before you hit send, 12 things you should go over with your mm-hmm. post, with your whatever on
number
social
one,
media.
Number one, take all those stupid emojicons out.
Oh, man.
That's number
That's
one.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. We were asking people what they thought because, man, right now, I seriously want to delete my Facebook.
Yeah. Number two, if it's a picture of a cat, slap yourself right now.
Oh, man.
Number three, if it's a picture of food, pour the food on your lap.
You know who got after me about food posts? Your mom.
Really?
Your mom was the first person that ever got on me about that. And
dude,
I don't think I've ever posted a food post ever since. Because your mom came up to me out of nowhere and said, hey, so are you like a foodie?
But you know what my mom's like notorious for posting is those memes. Not like memes of a picture with words on it, but like the Christian memes of like a picture of a sunset with like a Christine Kane quote or something.
Good news. Everyone's mom is notorious for that, except for Teo's. Actually, Teo's mom just posts a ton of baby photos and then tags everyone she knows in it.
Dude, I've got a tough time with social media because I find the times that I use social media most is to promote an event or something going on or saying, hey, come to Calvary. And then I look at my feed and like, I wouldn't want to follow me because there's no personal photos. It's just all these dumb photos like, hey, come to Calvary. Hey, Lee Strobel's going to be here. Hey, for King and Country. And I'm like, man, I'd hate myself if I was following me. Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you reduced your amount of hashtags and then... So
yes,
many people.
Dude. You are the hashtag king, sir.
I learned from Drew Newman.
Oh, yes, yes. Dude. I wish we had a producer and I could go, dude, play that back. This morning in the 7 o'clock hour, we were talking about social media etiquette, and I feel so vindicated right now.
No, I gave him such a hard time about hashtags.
We said that hashtag this morning. He said hashtag, and he said Nate Heitzig is the king of hashtags, and he was doing hashtag this, hashtag that, things you hashtag, and I said, psh, hashtag Drew Newman is what I said.
Yep. It was funny.
This is the thing, though. All my hashtags have a point. You know, some people do those long hashtags that they're the only person who has ever typed in that hashtag. And the point of a hashtag is when someone searches it to find your post. Mm-hmm. And people do like a hashtag like, hashtag, I'm the coolest person ever. No one else is going to do this. And it's like, that completely defeats the purpose of a hashtag. All my hashtags are one word hashtags so that people search in it. So like, for instance, I posted a thing this past week about Jesus loves homosexuals with all the SCOTUS ruling. Mm-hmm. And so I put a bunch of hashtags that are like one word, like people could get pissed off that I put that on there. Like I put gay, LGBT, homosexual, love wins, you know, E.T. all these things that people are actually gonna search.
Right.
And then someone looking like, you know, for a gay post or something is going to find my post and all of a sudden hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And so they have a purpose. I'm not just putting like a bunch of random hashtags.
Yeah.
I try to have them be purposeful and pointed. And dude, you know, as much as Drew posts hashtags, a lot of hashtags, that dude has an enormous Instagram following.
He does.
And he doesn't do much.
I just realized.
Besides Instagram.
You're right. That's his life. We just discovered how we're going to get famous.
How we going to get famous.
No, hashtag fame.
But seriously,
hashtag
like,
famous.
Like
hashtag
Drew understands
no
social
job.
Media.
He
like
does.
He gets it, man.
Yeah.
So at first I gave him a really hard time with it. And then I started flirting with hashtags. Like I just put a couple inside my posts. And I'd realize I'd get people, you know, people who I didn't know that would comment on my post because, you know, they saw, oh, you put guitar in there. I play guitar. So I searched that and I like your photo. And I just kind of saw that happen. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's good.
That is the
it
purpose.
Worked out. That really is the purpose.
I get so I get hard times though from people for doing hashtags. But you know what I found now is I'll do my post with just a couple hashtags and then I'll comment on my post with like 10 hashtags.
Yeah.
And then it's not like
it doesn't look it's still just as bad.
Shut up.
Cuz you're always the first commenter on your own post.
You know what? I'm going to punch you in the armpit.
Hashtag punishment. Do it.
Hashtag abuse. Hashtag.
You know what, Nate? The only
hashtag flick.
The only two hashtags that I really use, three. Hashtag J. Scott Danger.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that when people hashtag.
Yeah, that's good.
They
yeah.
do their kids.
I've heard that. You set up a hashtag from a young age for your kid.
It's like a digital photo album. Totally. So you can always just go back and look at it.
And
it's
so cool. And so that way, people that you don't know can always look at pictures of your kids.
Right. We love it.
Which is fine. That's going to happen with our kid anyway.
Yeah. I like that.
And then the second hashtag is hashtag where I actually spell it out. And that's so I can go look at my own post. And then the third one is hashtag cat. Because I disagree with your dad. Cats are not messengers of Satan.
They are Satan incarnate.
Did you guys ever have cats?
Never. We had a cat. I had a cat. It was a calico cat named Missy, and it got eaten by a coyote, and we found its collar blood all over it in the street.
Mm. Oh my gosh! Yeah. No wonder you guys aren't cat people. That's so traumatic.
It was sad, but that's the thing. Like, that's what I realized. Like, it wasn't that sad. So probably aren't cat people. If you find out your cat gets eaten by a coyote and it's sad, but it's not like, oh no.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably shouldn't be a cat person.
Yeah, I'd be sad. I had a pet cat when I was a kid that it was an outside cat, and one of our neighbors shot it. Ooh. And then I found the body.
Oh my gosh, what just happened to our show?
And I was pretty sad.
That's
traumatic.
Cat person.
Did you go shoot the neighbor?
Oh my gosh!
Okay, I confronted him at school, and I was like, why did you do that? And he said, my dad said shoot it because it was in our yard.
Oh,
and there's not a lot you can do at that point.
The South, man.
You could have poured like Kool-Aid down his pants or something.
No.
What? They do that in the South anyways. Grape Kool-Aid is the drink.
Nah, dude, let's be honest. Guys, on a hot day, doesn't Kool-Aid sound good sometimes?
I was like, raised man, I want some Southern Kool-Aid. Baptist.
Purple.
And the only thing I was told about Kool-Aid was to always drink the Kool-Aid. So that's just what I've been doing since I was a kid. I was never instructed to pour it.
It's Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Dan Isaac, Steve Oteo hanging out with you. If you would like to actually turn this conversation serious, by all means, do so.
Facebook. Oh, we got a phone call. We got a phone call.
R88FM. Or, of course, 505-338-3700. Star88, hello.
What do you want to talk about?
You know what's bad? This is the whole cat thing. My friend's like, I found my cat dead in my backyard by county. I was like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm not a cat person. Yeah. Not good to do you, friends. So.
Dude, mourn with those who mourn, bro. Biblical. Let's bring it back to Shock Therapy Live. You have no soul. You need no soul. All right. Dude, that's sad. Come on.
I couldn't actually hear what he said.
His friend found his cat dead, and he just kind of didn't have any remorse for him.
Oh.
And he wasn't sad for him. Sad for your friend.
You know what? Okay, I lie. We had a cat. So when I was a kid, we had a cat. But then my wife and I bought a cat named Charlie. And we got him when he was a kitten, and he kind of grew up with our dog, and so he adopted dog traits and behavior.
That's awesome.
And so literally, we could take his little toy and throw it, and he'd go get it and bring it back to us. He'd like fetch it. It was so cute. When he would get really, really hot from running, he'd put his tongue out and go. He'd pant.
That's funny.
And then when we would turn on, we had in the bathtub. If we turned the bathtub water on, he'd run from wherever he was, jump in the bathtub, and drink the water like a dog does from a hose.
Yep. See, that's cool.
That was a cool cat.
Both Beans and Panda have fetched things for me. Like, I've gotten their toy and thrown it across the room, and they've got it and brought it back to me, and I've thrown it again, and they've done that a few times.
Amazing.
So I feel like, you know, people like train guard dogs. I feel like guard cats would be just as effective and terrifying. Imagine if you're a burglar walking into a house, and like a dog you see in here, cats are stealth like ninjas.
Yeah.
And so from the curtains, the cat jumps on your face and claws your eyes out.
That's an effective guard cat. That's true. Gosh, battle cat.
Dude, how terrifying would that be? As a thief, that's scarier than a dog. Like, what the heck just clawed my eyes out?
Yep. Well, you would know because you're blind. Dude. Because it...
Battle cat.
It clawed your eyes out.
Exactly. And you'd probably run away and never, ever, ever go into a house that says guarded by cat.
You'd be afraid of cats.
You know what my favorite part about Shock Therapy Live in the summer is? Mm-hmm. Everybody's still asleep because it's summer break, and so we just talk about nothing.
That's right, lazy fools.
Lazy fools.
505 338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. I thought we could talk for a minute about social media and talk honestly about posts going on right now, obviously with the Confederate flag, with the Supreme Court ruling, with everything that seems to be going on right now. It's been insane. On social media, and what should our response as Christians be? I did see your Jesus Loves Homosexuals response, and I was like, right on. What your dad's been posting, I like that, you know?
Yeah, you know.
It's tough.
It's hard, man. And You know what really drives me nuts is on both spectrums. Mm-hmm. Both spectrums. You have people who never post about their beliefs until something controversial happens. Then all of a sudden they're posting their beliefs. So this is my thing. If you're a Christian who's constantly posting on Instagram about sin and about how your heart is broken for sin in general and about, you know, how you want to see people repent from sin, and you're constantly putting evangelical posts and something like this happens, awesome. Power to you. Go ahead and post about it. But if you never post about how your heart is broken for sin, but all you post is cat photos, and all you post is your high score on Candy Crush, and all you do is Farmville on Facebook, but then SCOTUS makes a ruling and you go on Facebook and you say how much you hate gay people, then shame on you.
Yeah.
Because our heart should be broken for sin every day. Our heart shouldn't just be broken for sin when something like this happens. And so, you know, that's my thing where I have a hard time is that so what happens is, I mean, I can understand why homosexuals think that Christians hate them, because the only time Christians post anything is when, you know, something like this happens and we all go on there and we say, you know, how terrible things are. And things are terrible. Man, it is bad. My heart is broken that we live in a day and age where our culture states that it's okay to have two same sex people get married. My heart's broken that that's the case. But my heart's broken more not just because of that, but because of the realization that our culture as a whole is sliding more and more into moral relativity and into sin. Yeah. And so I think that Christians need to kind of wake up and realize that this didn't just happen in a day.
Yeah.
You know, this has been something that's been happening for a long time.
And we really need to think about, our situations, if you will, before we post. What's been difficult, I think, for me a lot is I keep seeing this very thing, the sanctity of marriage and how it's a covenant relationship with God and how evil and ridiculous this is of the Supreme Court. And sadly, I'm seeing this from friends who are believers who've been married three times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Growing up, the son of a single mom, because my dad passed away. Sadly, you know, my mom did remarry. It didn't pan out, if you will. You know what I mean? I was the product of a broken home. I was the product of divorce. And so when I see posts from people that are like, we must protect the sanctity of marriage at all costs because we cannot see same-sex partners get married. I myself have been married three times. It's cool, though, because it was to somebody of the opposite sex. It's like, no, it's not cool. Sanctity of marriage, like, all around, you know? And so that's one thing that has also been trying and difficult, you know?
It's difficult because I think there is a line, and I think we should, you know, regardless of where our lives have been and what we've done, we should still stand for what's right and stand for truth.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I think that can oftentimes, on the other side of the spectrum, be a crutch that non-believers use, and they say, well, how can you tell me that what I'm doing is wrong? You've done wrong things too.
Right.
And so we don't want to use that as a crutch, but at the same time we do need to be aware.
Yes. We need to be mindful of that. And as you said, we need to care about it every day, not just because of this ruling. I saw a guy on Facebook, of course, where everyone sees everything now. And he posted this video and just talking, saying, "All right, I want you to grab a piece of paper and I want you to write down the five most, you know, most important values in your life. Your faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to write down the strongest moral values you have in your entire life. And then I want you to get another piece of paper, and I want you to write down the five things you do most throughout your day, whether it's watch Netflix or, you know, whatever it is you do, your job, your whatever. And then I want you to take that first piece of paper, crumble it up and throw it away. And I want you to focus on the second piece of paper because that's actually what you care about.
Mm.
What you do every day of your life, that's actually what you care about.
Yeah.
Not the five things that right now, because you're heated, you say you care about.
It's true.
The five things you do every single day that consume your life, those are the actual things you care about. And it was convicting for me as well. I had to think about it for a minute. Like, what am I doing every day? Am I truly living my faith every day? Am I exemplifying Jesus Christ in all of my actions every day? Or do I get pissed at certain things and jump on a soapbox in the moment, but once the moment's over, kind of just go back to whatever it is I'm doing? It's interesting. 505-338-3700, the phone number. You want to go out to the phone lines?
Yeah, let's do it.
Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning!
Good morning.
So So I just want to give my little 2 cents in a way, or also make sure I'm not thinking in the wrong way. But this whole thing with the whole gay marriage thing is, you know, although I believe it's a sin and, you know, it goes against God or against the Bible, I'm also a big believer in live and let live. You know, I'm kind of one of those, you know, a nation, a free nation such as the United States, I don't think they should have the right to tell someone who they can and cannot marry. And I also believe, too, that if we just start making laws just because the Bible says so, in a way that I see that as religious persecution, which big thing this nation was founded on was to get away from that. And also, too, I think if you just make laws about it, you know, the gay community would probably have a lot more resentment against us, you know.
Well, you know, this is the thing. You know, to what you say, live and let live, I would say that in a different light because, you know, I want to see people live in eternity in heaven, not live in eternity in hell. And so, you know, I think that it's our responsibility as Christians, instead of just saying, you know, you guys do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do, I think it's our responsibility as Christians, just like if we knew of a faulty elevator, to warn people to not step on that elevator so that they wouldn't perish. And so, well, you know, what, where I do hear, you know, part of your heart, you know, and saying, well, yeah, you know, I believe it's wrong, but at the same time, you know, I just kind of want to let each person do what they want to do. I don't think that that's a proper view for us to have. You know, I think it's our responsibility as Christians to tell people the truth, to do so in love, to do so in care, and do so with the realization that we're telling them these things because we care about them, because we don't want to see them perish, because we don't want to see them experience an eternity in hell separated from God. And so it's a loving thing to do that and to let them know that. And then I would also just, you know, want you to realize that the reason that that, you know, Christians are so up in arms with, at least in my estimation, with the ratification of gay marriage is because it's a step towards our country ratifying that sin is okay and saying that sin is okay, just like the ruling in Roe versus Wade in pro-choice and abortion. You know, there's just still to this day many Christian organizations that are very much against that. I am in full support of that. I'm against abortion. And if we can make abortion illegal, I would, and if that's possible. You know, I think that a lot of Christians still have that stand because we care about the sanctity of life. In the same way with this, we care about the sanctity of marriage. And it scares me to grow up in a world where my kids are going to be told every day in school that, hey, that's perfectly okay. And what your parents have told you and what the church has told you isn't true. It's okay to be married to a man. It's okay if you're a female to be married to a female. And that scares me that my kids are going to be taught that that's the norm. And it's the real that as a country now, we have had the highest court in the land basically tell us that if you believe that gay marriage is not okay, you're the minority and you're wrong. That's basically what the country is now telling us. If you think that gay marriage is wrong, you're wrong. And that's what's scary about this, is you know, that now our country is in support, just like Roe versus Wade, of sin.
I saw an article on Yahoo where Arnold Schwarzenegger had posted his photo. I don't know if you guys saw this. He changed his photo to him as the Terminator with the rainbow colors. Did you guys see this story?
No.
He changed his profile picture to, you know, the Terminator with the rainbow colors. And one person commented and said, oh, man, so disappointing. I guess I'm going to have to unfollow. And he actually personally responded back to the guy and said, hasta la vista, baby, and pulled a Terminator, right? And I was like, ah, right? Pulled a Terminator. He totally pulled a Terminator line. What struck me as uncool was the article. It was written by a writer on Yahoo, at yahoo.com. And it said, of course, it was praising Arnold Schwarzenegger for his actions and for being super awesome. And, you know, and the final line was, Arnold Schwarzenegger terminating one homophobe at a time. And I was like, whoa, dude, they just labeled that guy a homophobe by saying, oh, man, that's disappointing. I'm going to have to unfollow. That was literally what his post said. And they labeled him a homophobe because he didn't agree with it. Mm-hmm. And so I agree on the flip side that, man, it's getting very scary because it's civil disobedience, you know, saying, hey, not civil disobedience, but, you know, disagreeing with somebody about their opinion, about their perspective, used to be okay, and now it's okay as long as it's you know, within the majority of culture.
Yeah.
If you're within the minority of culture right now and you disagree, you're full of hate.
Yeah.
You're a homophobe. You're, yeah. you know, and it's like, whoa, dude, that's a very scary place to be.
Yeah. And again, the issue within this whole scenario is moral relativism. And at what point is the line drawn?
Yeah.
And I know, you know, homosexuals and supporters of this bill hate the comparison. If any Christian compares homosexuality to any other sin, they're saying, oh, are you calling homosexuals murderers? No, but we are making the realization that we're in a state of moral relativism. And if you know, at the same time we have, you know, Bruce Jenner becoming Caitlyn Jenner, and, you know, we have a whole organization that says that we can self-determine our sexual identity. We can self-determine, you know, what sex we want to be. And at the same time, you've got this lady who says that she feels black inside when she's white, and she lies, you know, to it. She works for a black rights organization. And it's so funny to me that you have a lot of liberals that are kind of coming down on her and saying, how dare she do that? It's so bad. But that's the same thing as saying, hey, I feel like a woman inside. You know, at what point if you're going to say someone can determine what sex they are, then why can't someone determine what race they are? Or why can't someone determine what species they are?
That's me.
You know? So,
Velociraptor.
Yeah, he is transspecial. We've talked about this. He's a Velociraptor.
But it, you know, it really becomes asinine, where it's like, anyone, I mean, it's like the extreme extent of moral relativism, where it's like, oh, I can be what I want to be. I mean, it's like literally, like, crazy when you really follow this kind of thinking to where it ends.
To its logical conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is, and this is what my dad talked about this weekend, it really is the end times, because it really is what the Bible says of everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. Mm. I mean, it is that to a T.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's exactly the state they were in before God judged them. And so, you know, what it scares me is that I don't want to see God judge these people. Yeah. I don't want to see these people have to stand before God. My heart is to see them in heaven. My heart is to have a relationship with them, and not a relationship through Facebook where you're saying, well, I'm right. No, well, I'm right. I genuinely want to build a relationship with these people.
Yeah.
And so what saddens me is you have Christians that are making it hard for that to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I find very few people are taking the right stand and saying, look, I stand for people, but I stand against sin. Most people are either taking one or the other, saying, I stand for people, and so whatever they want to do is okay with me, or saying, I stand against sin, and if anyone's sinning, I'm against them.
Right.
And so, to me, you're having people take either end of the spectrum, and so you're either having Christians that have a really watered-down message that will not stand on its own two feet before God in heaven, or you're having Christians take a stand against people and leaving no room for grace and love.
Yeah.
And so, to me, you're not having any Christians really take a biblical response or a Jesus response. You're having Christians take a slanted response, yeah, and going towards one side. And that's what's sad to me, is how polarizing this issue has been. And to me, it's really made me realize more and more something that I've been saying, my dad's been saying for years, you know, a big percentage of the American people call themselves a Christian, but a minute fraction of those people actually are.
Yeah. Yeah, are actually living it. Actually, yeah. Oh, man. And it's crazy because, you know, as you said, hey, the liberals, you know, and I'm like, I'm thinking in my brain, what? And it's not, it's worse than that, because it's not even conservative versus liberal versus, at this point on Facebook, I'm watching Christians tear each other apart. I'm watching people say, for the sake of the gospel, this side, or for the sake of the gospel, that side. So within our own little subculture, we are destroying each other. And so the world's just kind of watching us tear each other apart and go, cool, man, exactly.
Well, and this
what's
is the thing,
different about you?
You got to realize, too, this is part of the gay rights and the homosexual agenda. You know, back in the 80s, they were playing checkers. Now they're playing chess, and they're smart and they're calculated. And my dad actually had a conversation with a lady who now works for the Billy Graham organization, and she was a practicing lesbian. She gave her life to Christ, but she was working for an LGBT rights organization. And she said, our number one goal in the LGBT rights organization is to undermine Christianity.
Well, I mean, we saw that firsthand on this show. Do you remember?
But so, I mean, so that, like, they're actually, they're what they're trying to do. Now, I'm not saying the people, all the people. Someone say, look, you know,
let's generalize the population.
Yeah, right. I'm saying these organizations, these LGBT rights organizations, they are actively trying to do this to undermine the Christian worldview, and to go against, you know, and try to overthrow that ideology, and so they really are out on the offensive, and they're trying to do this.
We saw an example of that here on this frequency at 88.3 FM when we received a phone call from a gentleman who wanted to talk to us off the air. And his job, if you will, his responsibility, he worked for one of those organizations, was to listen and track Christian radio and to basically record and hear forms of quote-unquote hate speech.
Yeah.
His job was to try and find out something that we were saying about homosexuals that could be incriminating, that they could sue, that they could whatever over. And in turn, he heard us discussing the topic and ended up calling in and not only like asking forgiveness, but man, he was a broken dude saying, I was listening in just waiting for so much hate and he didn't get it and ended up giving his life to Christ. And it was this incredible testimony of like, dude, if we just live as we have a Facebook comment, and I thought it very beautifully illustrated, you know, what was happening on the show. Basically,
it's from a blogger named Matt Moore. A listener posted a picture of it. It says, a word of advice to my Christian brothers and sisters. If up until today you've kept your faith and religious opinions off of your social media, it may be wise to keep your opinions on marriage off of social media as well. I don't mean to offend, but it's just kind of off-putting to unbelievers when Christians only bring up Jesus when their politics are threatened. If you want to use your voice today to make a difference, start talking about Jesus. Jesus.
That's good. Yeah. We need to be, and that's where we begin, and that should be our identity. I think right now, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever else is your quote-unquote identifier, if your identifier is anything other than Jesus Christ, you got to reevaluate some things.
Yeah, but I would also say to you, if you're listening, you're a Christian, and you're like, man, like because it is a scary world we live in now.
Oh, yeah, dude, I got three boys.
And this is what's scariest about this right now as a church. Now that the government has said that gay marriage is the same as heterosexual marriage, and as, you know, traditional marriage, what we would call, the day is coming when they will tell churches that if the church will not perform a gay marriage, a gay wedding, that it's hate speech and that it's a hate crime because it's the same. And that, so the day is coming where I promise you, where they are going to be imposing these same rules and these same laws on the church. And they'll pull 501c3, they'll pull nonprofit status if you refuse to do so, they'll pull the tax incentives. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the day will come where they'll throw you in jail if you preach against it. And so I would, you know, tell true believers, true Christians who are listening, if someone asks you your opinion, don't give in to the status quo and say, oh, well, you know, whatever you believe is okay with me. Preach what the Bible says. If someone asks you your opinion, please don't water it down. Please let them know, look, I'm against homosexual marriage. Look, I'm against what the Bible says is wrong, but I still love people. And I guarantee, as my dad said this weekend, you know, you're going to get maligned. People are going to tell you no matter what you try to say to them. And I find that's what's so sad to me. I genuinely love these people, and I would genuinely love to take, you know, a gay couple to coffee and talk to them and not preach at them, just talk to them. But the sad part is that the second they talk to me and they ask me what my stance is, the second I even say, you know, I'm for what the Bible says and I'm against homosexual marriage, but I love you and I still love to have a conversation with you, doesn't matter what I say after that point. They'll label you as a hater. They'll label you as somebody who, you know, is filled with hate speech, and they won't want to talk to you. And so it's sad that we live in that world where they're not going to give you the opportunity to talk and to voice your opinion. And so it's sad that we live in that world, but, you know, we're backed into a corner to a certain extent. And I think we've got to say what the Bible says. We've got to be true to what the Bible says.
It is Shock Therapy Live. If you would like to chime in, maybe you have a question, feel free to, change the topic. Nothing is off limits on Shock Therapy Live. So 505-338-3700, the phone number, or if you'd just like to give your 2 cents on this today as well, 338-3700. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. You know, I wanted just to touch on this just lightly and talk about something else. I, you know, we were talking about this yesterday at church, and, you know, about the tax exemption and all that, and I was talking to my husband about it, and I said, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say, and when you give your money, your 10%, you will get a tax write-off. Nowhere does it say that. So as Christians, we should not have that be like, well, we can't give because we're not getting our special tax exemption, you know, get a little special thing on our tax write-off. And I know it's a blessing. But if we really trust the Lord, we have to know He's going to bless us no matter what.
Mm, totally.
Whether we're getting that special little write-off with the taxes or not. I mean, this is a very difficult time, and we have to really stick to what the Word of God says and be kind and loving to those around us. Because
totally.
We are all sinners. And if by not God's grace, we would all be in so much trouble, because His grace is what helps us get through everything. His love, He died for us, He gave His life for us. I mean, really, wow. You know, we have to show that love to others. It breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. I just really don't want people, you know, we represent the Lord and His love that loved anybody, and it didn't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we really should be showing to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I think you know, I love hearing your heart on that, and you know, I'm not sure where you stand on the spectrum of the pendulum, but I do totally agree. You know, we need to show the love of God, but in the same sense, I also believe that the love of God that calls people to repentance, and so I think that we do need to show people the love of God and pray that the love of God will draw them to Him, and that, you know, once they give their lives to Christ, we then call them to repentance and call them to live a different way. You know, and that's the basic tenet of Christianity, that we're living a life that is not pleasing to the world but is pleasing to God once we're a Christian. And so I do agree with that. We need to show people that love of Christ. And then I would also say, you know, just, you know, I think what's scary isn't the idea of them taking tax exemption away, but what it leads to. Because it starts with them saying, okay, we're going to take away church's 501c3 status. Then it goes to, okay, if the church doesn't do it, it's a hate crime and we're going to, you know, write you guys up. And then it turns into, hey, if you guys preach against homosexuality, we're going to throw you in jail. And so what's scary is what it leads to. And what's scary is that the same laws that the homosexual rights organizations used to get homosexual marriage approved could come back to backfire what those laws were created for, to protect churches and Christians. You know, those laws, those religious freedom, these laws that were created by our founding fathers were created to protect the church. And those laws could someday backfire to having the government tell the church, hey, if you don't do this, you know, you could be thrown into jail. And that's what's scary about all of that.
No, I agree with that. No, and definitely my husband and I don't, you know, we believe in everything that the Bible says. We don't believe in same-sex marriage. We don't support that. But we do have family members that are gay, and we love
them.
Yeah,
totally.
And I feel like, you know, I agree that it's, you know, it's not about the tax exemption thing, but somebody was saying, yeah, well, I don't know if I can do that. And I was like, No, we have to. In the Bible, it says we give our 10%.
Totally.
And no, But I think, you know, our biggest stand is my husband and I, we just feel like we're called even more so, even harder, to be just on fire for the Lord and pray and be on our knees more, because this is a time that, you know, as Christians, I think sometimes we've been a little bit complacent, and you can't be complacent. You can't just, you know, well, it's not going to affect me here. It's just, it's not okay.
Amen. I think what you said too, you know, I think the real Christians are really going to rise up through this. You know, those who really have a faith in Christ, who don't mind being persecuted, who don't mind, you know, standing up when it's hard to, are going to kind of rise through the ashes, and we're really going to see the wheat from the chaff.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. You know, and we were talking about this, and I said, you know, I don't like being hit. So I'm like, I don't know how it would take to somebody like taking me, you know, and beating me and wanting me to, you know, denounce the Lord. But all I know is my freedom came when I gave my life to the Lord. So I can't give Him up. I can't just say, well, you know, it's still not true, because it's true.
Yeah.
So I would pray that He would help me get through that time, if that time comes.
Mm.
But what I wanted to mention was one thing I read on the internet yesterday really broke my heart. There was a young girl, and I don't know if she was from Belgium. I just know that I think it said that it was passed in Belgium, that she has this horrible problem with depression, and she's just in so much pain from depression that they've given her the right to euthanasia.
Oh, wow.
And she's only 21, and she's healthy, but she just has, you know, she's severely depressed. And I thought, this just reminds me of where we're going. It's just, you know, it's okay. Hey, you're not feeling good. You know, it's okay to take your life. We'll go ahead and do that. And I just, that breaks my heart even more.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said you found that article coming from Belgium?
I saw it on MSN, you know, and it was a young girl, and I thought it said in Belgium it had been, you know, approved already, you know, that you are in tremendous pain and whatever, it's okay for you to be euthanized. And I was like, wow, that's
over depression.
It's a foreign country. It's another foreign country, and I wish I could remember, but I just don't. I just remember being just saddened that this young woman was only 21.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. We'll look the article up. Let us know if you find a source. Yeah, I'd love to see that. Unfortunately, when it comes, I mean, as a journalist, anytime I hear of an article, I'd always love to take it back to the source to know what is happening, because there's a lot of stories. Again, back to social media, there's a lot of stories circulating, some true, some not true. But it's always interesting to me that we will take a random post on Facebook as gospel fact,
yeah,
but we won't take the gospel. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll take the word of some random blogger we don't know over a story. Not saying that this one isn't true. I would just love to hear the
article. You know what's so funny too? The thing that I posted, I you know, I felt like I posted a very, very balanced view, a biblical view. But on Facebook, the comments that I had from Christians were, I got kind of maligned on both ends. Mm-hmm. So I got some Christians that said, what about the numerous scriptures where it says that God hates people? And it's like, well, there really aren't scriptures that say that. So number one, show me what those scriptures are. But then I also got posts from people on the opposite spectrum saying, where in the Bible does it say that homosexuality is a sin? And so, you know, it's just interesting. You get maligned on both ends.
Yeah.
And that's why I say most Christians are either going to one end of the spectrum. Very few are taking a balanced view.
Right. Yeah. Man, 505-338-3700, the phone number. It is Shock Therapy Live. Give us a call. Phone lines are open. They didn't want to wait around.
That one's definitely open.
Yeah. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm, or send us an email, studio@star88fm. That's studio@star88.fm, I should say.
Let's see if we got any emails.
Yeah, man. Woo! We can totally change the subject at any given point if you guys want to. Really heavy show.
Dude.
But I mean, it's a heavy time.
Yeah, it's a heavy time. And again, I just really want to, you know, I want people to realize why some Christians are responding so emotionally, because it really is, as much as we love everyone, it really is serious, and it really is a big change in our culture.
Yeah.
You know, just to me, it's just as big as Roe versus Wade. And if you were alive to remember that, you know, it was a big deal. I remember my mom, you know, when that was happening in the 90s, would go to these political rallies, and she was part of my mom was in the 90s part of a phone call team that would call people and tell them to vote against it. And you know, I think that it really is a big deal.
Yeah. Teo just got the story from a listener on Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm.
24-year-old woman in Belgium who has been, she qualifies for euthanasia even though she does not have a terminal or life-threatening illness. So she's been given the go-ahead by health professionals in Belgium to receive a lethal injection after spending both her childhood and adult life suffering from, quote, suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
She's been the patient of a psychiatric institution since the age of 21. It says she has previously tried to kill herself on several occasions. She told journalists, "Death frees me not as a choice, or death feels to me not as a choice. If I had a choice, I would choose a bearable life, but I've done everything and that was unsuccessful."
Man, you know what it reminds me of? And please, I do have family members who suffer with depression. So let me state this and then state clearly that I'm not saying that depression in and of itself is a sin. But what I am saying is this: you fight something. It just seems like, hey, man, you've been fighting this battle against this thing, and you're not winning. So we want to just go ahead and give you the right to give in to that. You go ahead and just go ahead and do that. You give in. And unfortunately, that's how I mean, I've done it many a times in my life with sin. You know, it's like you battle. I'm not winning this. I'm just going to go ahead and give in. And we all know that's obviously not a solution, you know. And in her situation, that's a very permanent solution here on earth. You know, like,
I think too, in our, and well, especially growing up, you get taught a lot about victory. And so this is kind of speaking to the church, and it's just a question I have, because it's like, that can, the whole teaching on victory in church, if not handled correctly, can send people into a depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we talked about this last week, I think, actually.
Because it's like, I'm still dealing with this stuff. Right. I don't have victory over it. What's wrong with me? Right. Obviously, I, number one, don't have enough faith. Or number two, I haven't done enough. You know, and it goes into all these things. And I think sometimes it just, you know, it boils down to the fact that there are going to be things that we just have to admit we're going to struggle with for our lives.
Yeah.
There are going to be some struggles that you might not ever come away from.
Mm-hmm.
And the victory in that situation to me is that you have the ability to keep fighting.
Yeah.
You might not ever win, but you can keep fighting.
Yeah.
And that sounds horrible. It sounds like suffering.
Right.
But then again, our greatest example was somebody who suffered and died.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we to think that our life's not going to involve suffering of any way or in any kind?
Yeah.
You know, our example was a guy who got falsely accused and put on trial and murdered for something that he did not do. Yeah. And then you look at the countless other examples in the Bible. You look at Joseph in the Old Testament, who sat in prison for years.
Yeah.
You look at Paul, who sat in prison 4 years.
Man, look at the heroes of the faith in Hebrews, that so many of them didn't even see this, like, the promise that God had, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, here on earth anyways, they did not see that here. They didn't get to quote unquote partake in that here. They never saw what God had promised, and yet we know that God was faithful.
Yeah.
But they still didn't get to experience that here on earth, if you will.
And that's my thing, because I really feel like, especially I know from home, people are wrapped up in this concept of victory. But I think as a church, we need to help people remember Jesus himself said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world. He doesn't say you're going to overcome everything.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we're more than conquerors. And that's in a completely different way than just knocking out these things that we struggle with. Because more than likely, if it's, you know, any kind of like any sin, if you struggle with it, You're gonna go through times where you struggle hard, and then you're not struggling hard, and then it comes right back. It's like the parable when the demons leave the house, and then 10 more come into the clean house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like...
Yeah, you know, and I think that's one thing that people need to realize. You know, I hear a lot of homosexuals talking about that, you know, what the big thing that they'll use against a Christian is, are you saying it's a choice? Homosexuality is a choice? Well, no, the way you feel is not a choice, but what you do certainly is a choice.
Mm.
You know, I think you can feel... You can't choose how you feel, but the way you feel isn't always right. If there's one tenet that Christians and non-Christians should be able to agree on, is that feelings aren't always right.
Right.
You know, I can feel when I get really mad and cut off, like I want to run that person off the road. That's not a right feeling. You know, I can feel when my wife yells at me that I want to yell back at her. That's not a right feeling. I can feel when I get my taxes, like I want to cheat on them and, you know, not have to pay the amount of taxes that I owe. It doesn't make it a right feeling. You know, I can feel when I have one beer, like I want to have six more and have a good night, but that doesn't mean the feeling's right.
Yeah.
And so feelings are not a good thing to base what's right and wrong off of. And so can you choose the way you feel? No, but you can certainly choose what you do.
Mm. Yeah, and in turn, I think by that, your feelings, if you will, since they do sway like the wind sometimes, by your actions, you can't necessarily choose how you feel, but over time, it can change how you feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, I even think with homosexuals, a lot of homosexuals, I've counseled them, and they say, you know, do you think I'll someday have an attraction towards women? And I've got to honestly say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You might struggle with the temptation and the desire to have sex with a man for the rest of your life. That's a very possible scenario, but it doesn't mean that giving into it's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Phone lines are open. We only got a couple minutes left, so let's head right on out. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. So I'm facing a pretty serious battle with my mental health as well. but I was prescribed, like, numerous medications, sleep medication for insomnia and antidepressants, antipsychotics, and I went through a bunch of different ones, you know, trying to find out which one worked for me. I gained a bunch of weight. I lost a bunch of weight. I had serious twitching throughout my body. And so I went and saw an alternative, which is medical marijuana. And, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I haven't honestly been substance-free, like, without alcohol, without pills, without cigarettes, without marijuana, since I was in my teens. Mm-hmm. So I'm, like, I'm conflicted with the struggle of what I should do, you know, and I just want to know what you guys have to say about that.
Man, I want to say, oh, yeah, here's the quick answer, but we have 2 minutes of show. I would love to actually put you on hold if we could because, one, we're not psychologists.
Yes, not licensed psychologists, not medical doctors.
Yeah.
Not anything like that.
We can give you our opinion, but it's just like our opinion, man. We don't, yeah. I definitely wouldn't want to tell you to get off a medication or to do something drastic of
absolutely
that sort
not.
Because if you are prescribed by a medical doctor, chances are they know way more than
also,
I do.
Also, that's illegal.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
We cannot
and
tell
we
you
won't
those
do
things.
That.
Yeah, so, and we wouldn't do that.
You know, I will say the long and short answer, and this is what I say too. You know, just if you're a listener and I really want to know the answer to that. One thing we always tell people is if a doctor has prescribed you medication, stay on that medication until they prescribe you something differently.
Yeah.
Don't self-medicate. I think that's one of the worst things you can do and say, well, you know, I should be on this or I don't need this. I think you should take what you're prescribed. And if you're prescribed medical marijuana for a serious health condition that can actually help you, again, if that's prescribed by a doctor, then I think we've had extensive conversations about that topic on the show before. I'm for it. You know, I'm not for it of you trying to find a reason for why you need to take medical marijuana, and so you've got to find a health benefit that you can, you know, get it for. And you know, I think there are some people who just really want to smoke marijuana and find a legal reason to do it, so they'll manufacture some reason why they need to do it.
Dude,
I'm
I
not
told
for,
you, I have glaucoma.
So I'm not for that. But if there is a genuine health need and it's prescribed by a doctor, then I think that there's cause to do that, just like there would be a cause to take morphine or chemotherapy if it's prescribed by a doctor. As far as, you know, other medications, if it's for psychosis or it's for other mental health conditions, to my understanding, medical marijuana really doesn't have any help, for instance, to help with bipolar disorder or to help with schizophrenia, if someone's struggling with those kind of things. So I think it would actually do more to damage somebody who struggles with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, medical marijuana or any drug to that point, a psycho drug could do more damage than it could good.
Yeah.
And so I would really, within that situation, submit to what the doctors tell you and do what they say, because it's not only for your own safety, but it's for the safety of those around you.
Will you hang on the line for us?
Yes, definitely. Thank you so
perfect
much.
All right, cool. It is almost 9:57. Sadly, we are out of show.
Mm.
Hey, thanks to everybody who chimed in.
Yeah, it was fun.
All three of you. It's summer break,
you
man.
Losers.
It's the 4th of July week. People are camping. People are hanging out. Speaking of 4th of July, hey, tonight, Calvary Albuquerque will be broadcasting live starting at 5 p.m. for Freedom Celebracion.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be good.
We're looking forward to
celebrating our independence from Mexico. And remember the Alamo.
Stop it.
Battle drums. The war is over because we won the Alamo. That's how we do.
I'm pretty sure it's not about that.
It might be, though.
I'm pretty sure it's about our winning the war with aliens.
Mm. That's good. I like that, too.
Right? It's called, right? Isn't it called Independence Day?
No.
It was.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Like, we're celebrating our Independence Day.
Sadly, Will Smith left, and
he did.
It all went to pot. Speaking of, if you missed any part of the show, download it.
I like that we played outro music. And we're like, oh, we're leaving. Just kidding.
We'll see you guys again mañana. But not Shock Therapy Live. Until next week.
JK.
Thanks, man. That was good. All right. Steve Montale and Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Goodbye.